Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Let's Talk Radio. Daniel Clark, Let's Talk Radio on WPCU. That's on Blog Talk Radio on the Internet. I'm Coach Joe Ledford, and a little bit I'll be joined by Coach Ricky Clark. He is finishing up his track practice. He's still in season, and he is anxious to get his kids into their meet that's coming up on Thursday over at the middle school. And so he's going to be joining us in a bit. We expect to hear from a couple of callers tonight, in particular a former high school All-American, outstanding young man who played at Independence High School in North Carolina. Mark May is going to be joining us. And it's an exciting time for sports in general. National championship last night, the women's national championship tonight. And I believe Coach Clark is with me now. Coach, you on the mobile studio?
I am.
You know, I mean, you think about it, Ricky. The state of Kentucky and the University of Louisville have an opportunity to have a really pretty good 28-hour period. You know, the men won last night, and they're a very deserving national champion. And you watch these young people play, and you get excited for them, and you think about it, you see how excited they are and how hard they played. And, you know, two great teams last night. I had predicted and picked Michigan, and they came close. But at the end of the day, University of Louisville just was too much. They were too much for everybody. They went through that tournament in style. They won the games where they blew people out. They won the close games. And, you know, that's just the mark of a truly great team. I mean, you know, but at the same time, you take a look at those young kids from Michigan, and, Coach, boy, didn't they represent the University of Michigan really well.
They really did. They really did. It was a great game. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a more competitive game. Nobody blinked. The kids played hard the entire game. Had a couple of issues with it. I'm just sitting there watching it with Michigan. He set his big gun after he got two fouls. He set him for about 12 minutes. I thought that changed the whole flow of the game as far as Michigan's offense was concerned. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, Ricky, I think you're right, but I'm going to tell you something. You and I have coached an air share of big games, and, you know, the coaching decisions are always talked about, criticized, praised the day after a big game, whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's the national championship game in basketball or football. And a lot of folks have a whole lot to say about coaches, but I'm going to tell you something. I've had some teams play for some state championships, state tournaments, and I don't mind telling you, the first time that I played where my team was in the game that would decide a state champion, now mind you, this was a youth ball team. This was church ball back when in North Carolina when it was either church ball or little league, and we did the church thing. We played in our very first state tournament. Coach Clark, I'm not going to kid you. That very first time that I was at that level, and even though it was just at a youth sports level, it was a little bit overwhelming. And I can't imagine just how hard it is to be a coach in your very first national championship game playing on that kind of stage. And you take a look at some of the numbers, though, and it's clear how and why this game was won. The final score, of course, was Louisville 82, Michigan 76. And, you know, Coach, before we get into that, you know, one of the young ladies at the school today asked me, Coach Leffler, why don't y'all talk about women's sports? So can we take a moment and let's do that before we get into that? And let me remind everybody that this program is brought to you by Players Sporting Goods, 5737 North Graham Street. That's in Charlotte. And their phone number is 704-598-7966. If you've got a team and you're looking to outfit that team, there's no better place to go than Players. And I don't mind telling you, they've been a good friend to James Martin and Vance Senior High School, and, you know, would encourage you to go over there and just walk through their store. Coach, there's nothing like walking through a sporting goods store for if you're a guy or if you're a lady and you love sports. That's just, they're just something special about seeing everything that's available. And they've got it all over at Players. You can go online at www.playersls.com and ask for Ashley to take care of any online needs that you have. But, Coach, you know, we got UConn playing for its eighth national championship tonight. That game tips off a little bit. They're playing University of Louisville, two Big East teams. We had two Big East teams in the Final Four on the men's side. We actually had three because I believe Notre Dame plays Big East basketball. And so it's kind of a neat way for the Big East to go out that one way or another, both national champions are going to be representing that conference. It has been a great conference. I'm going to miss it. And, you know, of course, a number of those teams are coming into the ACC, and you're talking about the rough play. I think Louisville's going to find that the ACC truly is more of a finesse type of game, and I think that they're going to see a big change there. But good luck to both the women's teams from UConn and the University of Louisville, and also, Coach, I know you coached over in Gastonia, but they've inducted folks into the Hall of Fame, and you talk about a fellow having a good week. Rick Pitino had a good week. He became the first coach to win national championships at two schools. His son was hired as the head coach at University of Louisville. His horse is on its way to being a competitor to possibly win the Kentucky Derby. You know, and he gets put in the Hall of Fame. But also going in that Hall of Fame is Sylvia Hatchell, head basketball coach at the University of North Carolina, who's a Gastonia native, and also South Carolina coach Dawn Staley, who was a great player at the University of Virginia. They got their Hall of Fame jerseys on Monday. So congratulations to both of them, because, you know, what an honor that must be for Coach Pitino, Coach Tarkanian, Coach Guy Lewis, you know, Coach Hatchell, and, you know, Coach Staley at South Carolina, to be recognized by sports writers and your peers as being the type of folks to go into that Hall of Fame. And our congratulations go out to all those people.
Oh, absolutely.
And Coach, I would be remiss, too, if, and I promise everybody, we're going to get back to that national championship game in a few moments. So I had the honor and privilege to speak yesterday at a funeral about a great man. The very first athletic director at Independence High School, his name is Joe Coulter. He was a fellow that gave me an opportunity as an unpedigreed coach, meaning I didn't play college baseball, I didn't play college football, but Coach Coulter took a chance on me and allowed me to become a member of that high school coaching staff. And, you know, Coach Clark, back in the 70s, it was hard to find a position as a high school coach, and he was a great man, a great role model, and he lost a 12-month battle to lung cancer, and it was my honor and privilege to be at his wake and at his funeral, and I saw some of the coaching legends of Charlotte. I saw Coach Hedrick from Olympic Senior High School. I saw Coach Joe White, Coach Buster Ledford, Coach Hayes from East Mecklenburg. I mean, just to name a few. It was a great tribute to a great man who, I will tell you, Independence has had a lot of success, but that success didn't happen overnight. It didn't just jump out of the ground. That success can be traced back to one man, and that was the man who was our leader, Joe Coulter. He was a great sportsman in Charlotte. He was a great role model. His family is really hurting today, but heaven is a better place. I guess the good Lord wants to build an athletic department up there, Coach, and he could not have picked a better guy than Joe Coulter to go and jumpstart that. Seriously, folks, Joe Coulter gave his entire adult life to the young people of this community. He faced cancer with courage, and my life has been enriched by having known Coach Coulter, and the entire sports community and the Independence family will always remember and will always miss Coach Coulter. And so I miss him already. And it's something, Coach, that we actually buried Coach Coulter on the day of the national championship game. He was a basketball coach. And my guess is he would want to go out on the day that we play for the national championship. But listen to some of these statistics. Michigan was 25 of 48 field goal attempts. Louisville was 28 of 61. Both teams hit 18 free throws. The difference in the game, Coach, you go to the rebounding. Michigan had 8 offensive rebounds and a total of 27 rebounds. Louisville, on the other hand, had 15 offensive rebounds out of a total of 32 rebounds. And if you take a look at that, we've said on this show before that there's a difference between being a 22-year-old man playing against 18-year-old boys. And Coach Clark, I think as much as anything, we saw that last night where the upperclassmen at the University of Louisville were able to outmuscle the freshmen and the sophomores at the University of Michigan. Well, how do you feel about that?
We talked about that a little bit today, me and the basketball coach, Coach Montgomery, over at James Martin. We talked about that today, and I felt like going into the game, if you keep up with Louisville basketball, or even if you don't or you have not, and you watch the tournament, you know, Rick Pitino's squad shows a pattern. If he's down in the game by 10 or more, or the game is not flowing the way he wanted to flow, he will press.
That press. We have a caller.
Uh-oh.
And so we'll come back to that thought. Hello, caller, and we'd like to welcome you to the Players Sporting Goods call-in line. Who are we talking to?
Hey, Coach Leffert, this is Mark May. How are you doing?
Mark May, one of the great young men to come through Independence High School, saw him yesterday at Coach Coulter's funeral. And, you know, Mark, you're on the line with Coach Clark and myself. And, folks, let me tell you a little bit about Mark May.
Great. Hey, Coach Clark.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Independence has had some great quarterbacks, and for the longest time it was known as a quarterback school. And, you know, Joe Cox, Chris Leak, Eric Boyd, Chip Ferguson. But the first guy to really put Independence on the map as a football program is the caller who's joined us on this show. And in his day, back in 1981, 82, 83, there was nobody better as a high school football player than Mark May. They didn't give a high school Heisman at that time. If they had, Mark would have won that. And I believe, you know, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, you were All-State in three different sports. Is that not correct?
I think I was, Coach Leffert, yes, sir. But, young, like you said, with the football, I have to give a lot of that credit there to your, you know, I mean, your coaching early on, you know, because actually Coach Leffert was in my first high school, you know, as a quarterback coach. He worked with the quarterbacks when I was a sophomore, and,
Mark May is one of the most humble guys I've ever met. I will tell you that when you coach a young man like Mark May, it is amazing just how good things get. Coach, I'm going to let you talk to Mark for just a minute because I've told I've got a low battery. Now I'm going to have to make a headphone change right quick.
Okay.
So Mark, you watched the game. You watched the game last night.
I did watch the game, Coach.
Yeah, Coach Leffert and I was talking, and right before you came in, and I'm not taking anything from Louisville because it's an outstanding ball club, but they're getting ready to make a transition into the ACC. Now, you know, if you keep up with Louisville at all, you know when they get down or the game is not being played at the pace that they like.
Right.
They're gonna press it. And right. It is, in my opinion, it is the most aggressive press in college basketball. They got hands all over you. They pushing and shoving. And if you don't have three season officials, the game can easily get away from you. I thought last night that, you know, I thought last night that, that they were very hands-on, for lack of a better word. And I felt like there were times when the officials just swallowed the whistle. And, you know, and I told my kids the day at school, I didn't have a pony in the race because I picked, Ohio State to win everything. But it was just an observation of mine that they're getting ready to come into the ACC. You know, the ACC is more of a finesse league. You know, those guys would have spent most of the night sitting down playing in the ACC. And I'm not saying that the officials that officiated the game last night were any better than the officials in the ACC, but there were certain stretches during the game where that was just no whistles at all. They had a scrum under the basket, and I figured, I said, this is an easy one here. Bodies flying everywhere.
And I agree with you, Coach Clark. You know, I mean, guess it's actually funny that you mentioned that. I was actually watching the game. You know, I mean, Luke, you know, my son, who was in high school, and that's almost exactly what I told him in the first half. Really, you know, a Louisville style almost reminds you of the old, you know, I mean, guys, the ones, you know, with Arkansas, Nolan Richardson, where they kind of get after you full court and they just kind of wear on you and they play real physical and they like you said, because I really think that they believe if you play like that, they're continuously, that a lot of the calls, like you're talking about, the officials, they let you play like that. And really, I imagine that Coach Pitino in the practices, I'm sure that they're real physical. If you even notice that there were some times that the Louisville players, that they were called in for fouls and acted like they didn't even really touch them. And you look at the replay, they almost ran through the guy. they're acting like that they didn't foul anybody. And really, I almost thought that that's, that's probably what they're used to. That's the style that they play. I'd imagine, in practice also. So, hey, and after a while, I think you're right, Coach. If the officials, if they let them play, that they really wear teams down, and they do anyway. But in particular, like you say, in my opinion, they wanted to push in, and even in the full court, one of the guard play. I mean, they're up on you. I mean. Siva and also Smith. I mean, shoot, because I thought there were multiple times you could call a foul. A lot on them. Really just bring the ball up. But
anyway, well, Mark, there's one of the reasons I wanted you to be on this show, and that is because you played junior high football here in Charlotte. You then played at Independence High School, and now you're actually coaching and have been coaching for some time at a middle school, Bailey Middle School, up in the north end of Mecklenburg County. And Coach, how long have you been coaching up there? And tell us a little bit about your middle school experience and what are some of the lessons that you want to teach to middle school players?
Well, I've been helping there for 4 years up at Bailey. Actually, my oldest son, Luke, he's now a sophomore at Huff High School. I started when he was about seventh grade. Also have one in eighth grade. They're now... I've helped coach at the basketball and also football and the baseball. That's the athletic director, Coach Real's been, awfully nice to let me be involved and let me just be around to help. But, I can't tell you that, I've gotten a lot more, with enjoyment, with having an opportunity to be around the great kids and, great young people. That's one thing.
Hang on just 1 second, because I'm going to invite another or welcome another caller in on the Players Sporting Goods guest calling line. You're on the phone with Coach Clark, Joe Ledford, and Mark May. Who do I have on the line with them?
Darian Rilks.
I'm sorry?
Darian Rilks.
Well,
hey,
welcome
Darian.
To the show. A middle school athlete. You're on the phone with Coach Clark, Coach Ledford, and Coach May, and we welcome you to this show. And you got a chance to talk to a fella and ask a question of a guy who was All-American in high school, played Division I football at the University of North Carolina. We would like to welcome you to this show. And what's your question? Hello. Darian, do we still have him?
I think we lost him, Coach.
I think we've lost him. Mark, let's go back to, your son Luke. You mentioned you were watching the game with Luke last night.
Right.
And I don't mind telling you, folks, Mark was an amazing high school talent, an incredible arm, was a very, very good, Division I quarterback. And, Mark, your son Luke, I don't mind telling you, and I've told your dad this, and I don't mean this to take away from any of the things that you did as a high school athlete. Luke was a better quarterback in the eighth grade than you were as a sophomore. And again, you were a great high school quarterback. I will tell you that your son Luke is probably the best young talent I've ever seen at that position. Now, you were his coach, so Luke was playing for a lot better coach than you did. But, I understand that Luke, I just saw in the paper today that Luke is all conference in basketball, and he's chosen the basketball route instead of the football back football rat. Is that not correct? Tell us a little bit about Luke and what's going on with him. Sophomore at Huskerman High
School. Yes, Coach Leffert. You know, like a lot of young guys, I think all through, you know, the one thing the younger age is, I think he played all three, the football, the basketball, and the baseball. You know, and when he got to middle school, he continued to do the same thing. The one thing they mentioned that about Luke, I don't know if I, you know, guess to agree with it, because I remember playing y'all, guess over at Martin, and golly, guess I'm not sure the one thing of the whipping that y'all put on us. So I'm, you know, I mean, with Luke being the quarterback there, so you know, guess it's.
Well, he's an amazing talent, he's done really well in basketball, and he's actually, you're at his high school baseball game right now, are you not?
I am, because I'm actually watching him play a little baseball. But, you know, back to what you were mentioning, I guess, that it's really hard, I think, in particular, you know, high school that nowadays they're for kids that play all three. I know, Coach Clark, guess that I imagine there that, you know, guess that I bet you play, you know, multiple sports, and, you know, guess that, it's also you, Coach Leffert. You know, one thing with nowadays is really the kids that they play these sports all year long. So, you know, I think that Luke, you know, he liked the football a lot, but, you know, I think he just loves the basketball. He really enjoys the baseball. So, you know, I think it's a lot to play their two sports even now. And whereas, I guess 30 years ago, you know, it was a lot easier really for us to play all of them. So anyway, you know, guess that he was fortunate, I've had awfully good, you know, guess the high school basketball season. And so, you know, I think he's really looking forward to next year with that as well. But, you know, because hopefully the baseball will finish out strong also.
Well, you know, Mark, it's interesting that, you know, we talk about how sports are becoming more year round for kids. We see a lot of young men who do nothing but play baseball. We see a lot of young men who do nothing but play basketball. And football has become the type of sport where if you're not actually playing the game, you know, most high school football seasons are about 24 weeks. You know, I mean, the quality programs, the teams that go deep into the state playoffs are playing anywhere from 18 to 24 weeks.
Right.
And Mark, I mean, you're seeing it with your own son. My own son, Patrick, to be totally honest with you, I'm afraid that I kind of burned him out on baseball. He was a catcher for 11 years, caught a ton of games. We were playing between 80 and 100 games a year. He probably caught about 75% of those games. And in all honesty, there came a point where I think that he just got tired of being a catcher. He just got tired of playing baseball. And, you know, I mean, and yet, when you were coming along, we did have, and Coach Clark, and guys, I was not a good athlete. I just wasn't. But been a pretty decent coach. But, you know, I mean, Coach Clark, you ran track, you wrestled, you played baseball, which I'd love to see. Coach Clark never met a pitch he didn't like. He would swing at anything and everything. And,
I like it, Coach Clark. That's what I tell my kids. Hey, you have to swing to hit it, don't you?
I didn't go up there to stand.
No, that's a fact. And, you know, and Mark, let me ask you this. Do you think, as a parent of a young man who has Luke is, what, about 6'7", 6'8", now. He's a sophomore in high school. He's all-conference as a freshman and a sophomore. You know that before long, colleges are going to start talking about the interest in him. I'm sure they already have. You know, are we playing our kids too much? What do you think about that? Because you played a lot of ball coming up, and yet our sons are probably playing 10 times the number of games that we did.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Coach Leffert, I actually really, you know, I actually with my wife and I, and we talk about it because of a lot. I think it's also having some younger kids that are actually fourth and also fifth grade, and they also, they're playing the travel baseball like you said with your son. And you know what, I'm not real sure at that age that they really need to be doing that. You know, I mean, I think it's a lot on them. You know, some long weekends. Now, once they get there with a maybe 8th and 9th grade, and they realize that maybe that's what they want to play, so maybe baseball, then that's, because maybe that's a different story. But like you say, I mean, not with Luke, for instance, I mean, they've already started the AU basketball season. You know, I guess it's a real big year for him. Actually during the summer, they'll have the basketball with him. Tell the AU, we're kind of, what we're trying to get him in with, go to play in at least some basketball their tournaments while he's playing the baseball. So, like you say, Coach Leffer, guess it's a lot more year-round. Guess that I think it makes it harder for the kids because they almost feel like that if they don't play, they fall behind, to the rest of the kids. So, guess it almost hate it. It's almost kind of, because of the vicious cycle for them a lot of times. And so anyway, I guess the thing is, at least with my younger ones, after going through it with Luke and maybe Cole, I'm going to just let them, maybe have a little more fun in summers with the baseball and that kind of thing, and we'll just kind of see, kind of what happens with basketball. But what's happened with football, also Coach Leffert and, Coach Clark, I know that y'all see it. I know that their kids, they're playing spring football now in the middle school, and, to their football leagues, almost, really nowadays, they're for all season long, too. Because it's all year long, which I'm not sure that that's the smartest thing, either. So, anyway.
But you got to do it to survive. Well, Mark, I'm going to tell you something. We want to thank you for taking time out of your evening, and we're going to let you go watch Luke play. He is a great young man, and you come from a great family. Please give your parents our best. We want you to be a guest on this line, and as this show goes forward, we're going to want you to be our contact at the Bailey Middle School and want you to feel welcome to be on the Coach Ricky Clark and Coach Joe Leffert show at any time. Good luck to you, son, tonight, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you so much, Mark. Coach Leffert. Thank Coach Clark.
Take care.
Good luck with everything. Best of luck. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
And I believe we have Darian back on the line. Darian, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
And I'm gonna let you handle this one, Coach. Go right ahead, Coach Clark.
So who am I talking with, Brandon or Darian?
Yeah, you're talking with Brandon and Darian.
Brandon and Darian.
Oh, okay. So Darian, who's your Final Four pick?
Oh, Gonzaga. It was Gonzaga,
wow.
Syracuse, Michigan. What's that other team called? Louisiana, yeah, that team.
Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville.
Okay.
So you got
two out of four. Brandon, who did you pick to win the whole thing?
I picked Michigan to win the whole thing.
Oh, okay. But with Brandon, that's not too bad. We were talking about earlier how physical Louisville got with Michigan. And, there's some questions, and a lot of times people don't understand. Say, well, they're playing physical ball. I'll just tell my guy to play physical. It's not that easy. If I'm a finesse team, it is hard for me to flip the switch. And I felt like last night that was a time when Michigan needed to match that intensity and that physical game against Louisville, and they couldn't do it. They could not do it because the officials really let them play last night. Especially the last 10 minutes of the game, they almost put their whistles up and let them play.
Coach Clark, I want you to tell our listeners who these two young men are, and then a couple of outstanding young men. Introduce them to our listening audience and the folks who are going to hear this show.
Okay, Darian Reynolds played football for James Martin. He started at fullback and tailback for us. Brandon Monroe also played football at Martin, and he started at tailback. Both of them now are running track. They also play basketball at Martin. So these are three-sport athletes, and along the way, they've managed to keep their GPA up to keep them eligible. So, my hat's off to these young men, but two real good young men, three-sport athletes. So we'll we'll see how the season finish up, and hopefully they'll be in the running for that male athlete of the year if they keep the GPA up and continue to play and finish track anyway. That'll give each one of them three sports. So they're basketball, football.
And fellas, I want to tell you, this is a show that we're going to try to gear towards middle school athletes and high school athletes, and I'd like each of you to share just how important your middle school experience has been to you as an athlete. We'll start with Brandon. Brandon, tell me about your experience in middle school as an athlete.
My experience in middle school as an athlete, it was good, especially during football season, how I can play for the greatest coach and his assistant.
You had a nice first time, the greatest coach. Coach Clark. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And how I can play three sports and keep my GPA up, and how I get, and how I'm looking forward to going to high school and playing sports for them, and then going to college and try my luck there.
Brandon, where do you anticipate? Where will you be playing your high school ball?
Vance High School.
Right around the corner from us. And Darian, tell us a little bit about your middle school experience.
Mine's been actually good. It's a new level of football I've been playing on other than Pop Warner. So it's a big step up. Everything's on a different pace, and it's really been helping me get ready for high school and what's going to be coming to me as I play more sports.
Well, you know, fellas, I'm going to tell you something. On this show last week, I had on a head high school football coach from Concord Senior High School, Coach Glenn Padgett. And one of the things that he said to young people, and I want you to encourage the fellows at Martin and other young men that you know who want to be high school football players, Coach Padgett would tell you, and it doesn't matter whether he's a coach at Concord or a coach at Vance at Independence, Country Day, or wherever, they're all going to tell you the same thing. And that is that high school athletics starts about a week or two after you get out of school. And he would tell y'all to make sure that you go to those workouts. But he would also tell you, be in shape when you get there. And Coach Clark, talk to these fellows and other young people who might be listening, just how important it is for them to show up ready to go in the middle of June if they want to be a high school athlete.
Oh, absolutely. Let's say you got 85 kids that show up out there. Out of those 85 kids, at least 60% of them will not show up in condition, ready to play sports, will not show up in any kind of shape. They show up to get in shape during the trials. So those kids that show up in shape, physically and mentally tough and ready to play, those kids are going to get noticed first. So by the time the kids that showed up to get in shape at the trial, by the time they get where they need to be, the decisions have already been made. They've already decided who's going to start. Most of the time, you're a week away from your first game. It is very important that you guys, this is the next level. So when you get ready to start high school, there ain't no more, well, I didn't show up to practice. If something come up with your family that you can't be at practice, pick the phone up and call the coach and say, I'm not going to be at trials today, especially during the summer. Vacations, that coach needs to know that you guys are going out of town and know when to expect you back. You don't just disappear. It's like you said, like Darian said, coming from Pop Warner to middle school was a huge step up. This is the next level. And, Coach, both of these young men, in my opinion, has the ability to play on the college level. The question is, will they put the work in? And I know they will. Will they put the work in the weight room, in track? Because football, weight, and track go hand in hand now. There ain't no more.
They do. And I tell you something. And, fellas, I want you to encourage your friends to listen to this show tomorrow night, because we're going to have Judge Lou Trosh, who is a judge of the district court in Mecklenburg County, a state court judge. Our federal judge is not going to be able to be with us. We're going to hear from a man named Brian Mack, who, like Mark May, who was, you know, our previous guest, was an athlete at a state championship level. And, you know, Coach Mack, who now coaches AAU ball, is going to tell you that when he was about your age, he had an opportunity to make some choices, and he made some wrong choices. and he actually became a gang member, and he ended up being prosecuted in federal court. And so he's going to tell you how, through his courage and perseverance, he endured all that, including an active federal prison sentence, and now he is a role model and a mentor to young men who and wants to encourage them not to make the same types of mistakes that he's made. And fellows, and for all young people listening, if you're an eighth grader in middle school and you're about to go into high school, you're going to all of a sudden find yourself surrounded by men, okay? And 18-year-olds, you're going to see guys driving to practice. You know, I mean, that's something they're not used to. You're going to be exposed to a lot of choices, and some of those choices are going to be very horrible for you, but they're going to appear to be attractive. And, Coach, you're right. These are two young men that are quality, quality young men, great athletes. But, fellas, you're about to that phase in your life where you are going to have to make a decision what kind of man you want to be. And right now you both have an excellent foundation for the future, and you both have a very promising future. Try to tune in tomorrow night and listen to what Coach Mack has to say. Listen to Judge Trosh. And if we do have someone from the federal system, they will tell you there are consequences to the choices that young men make. Right now I would have to bet, Ricky, that these guys are going to make the right choices. But, you know, guys, you're making decisions now about your life in the classroom, at home, in your neighborhood, that are going to affect you for the rest of your life. And, Coach, it's been a real pleasure to coach outstanding young men like these two guys. They're wonderful, wonderful human beings. But would you not agree that life's real challenges are right around the corner for them, and they really start the day they become a high school student?
Oh, absolutely. Decisions have to be made, and you know, you're getting at a stage in your life now when you make the wrong decision. It don't just go away. Oh, and you guys are going up to the high school. We're right around the corner. You know our doors are always open. Anytime you need our help or need some advice, give us a call or come by and see us, okay?
And guys, I want to ask y'all one last question. And I'm going to ask, I'm going to start with Darian. Darian, how important has Coach Clark been to you in your life as an athlete and as a student? And what would you like to say to him?
Very good. He did good for me by helping me achieve the things that I need and my improvement. And I really think he's a real good coach and one of the best coaches I have as I've been playing football.
Brandon, what have you got to say to Coach Clark? Because I'm going to tell both of you something. He might seem like a gruff old man, but the truth of the matter is he cares very much about you guys and has given his entire adult life to you guys and literally thousands of other guys who've come through his classes and played on his teams. Brandon, what have you got to say to Coach Clark?
I say because he's important to me because he helped me. He helped me, especially during when I did terrible during the second game of the season. Didn't play a terrible game, and then I came back the next game after that, and he helped me run the ball, protect the ball, and I'm out of words. I can't think of nothing. But he is a great coach, and by far one of the best coaches I ever been coached by.
Well, fellas, we want to thank y'all for being guests on the Players Call-In Sports Line. And that toll-free number for anyone else who's listening is 888-689-4061. Gentlemen, want to wish y'all the best. Go get your homework done. let's do real well in a track meet on Thursday. Fellas, thank you for being calling guests on the Coach Ricky Clark and the Coach Joe Edford show on WDCU, Daniel Clark, Let's Talk Radio. And we look forward to seeing you fellows at the school.
Hi.
Ricky, what two outstanding young men. And, you know, when you hear kids say it, you know, something, and it's not easy for a kid to call in like the show and talk worldwide, but it has to make you feel good as a role model, as a coach and a teacher, to know just how important you are in these kids' lives. And that's why I wanted to put them on the spot a little bit and ask them that question. And you know, because these are young men, and as we speak of young men, did you see, these guys are 13, 14 years old, did you see that a young man 14 years old named Guan Tai Lang an eighth grader is going to be competing in the Masters. Now, Coach, we got some really good athletes at James Martin Middle School, but you know, think about that. Someone the age of Brandon and Darian played around a golf with Tiger Woods. You know, to that with Ben Crenshaw. You know, he's going to be in a par three tournament with Nick Faldo, and he is 14 years old, and he has to bring his homework to the Masters with him. Is that not just remarkable that a young man that age is ready to go compete in what is, in my opinion, golf's biggest, certainly one of the five biggest events in golf?
And look, it makes your golf game seem so inadequate. When a 14-year-old can compete in the Masters, I have a problem hitting it straight.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I mean, you think about that, 14 years old, it's going to be real interesting to see how he does now. A young lady named Lydia Ko was 15 and won the Women's Canadian Open last year on the LPGA Tour. And, you know, you got to think about that as a lot of mustard for a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old kid. I mean, these kids can't even drive, for heaven's sakes. You know, well, you know, Ms. Ko, maybe she's got a learner's permit, but she can't drive without someone else in the car with her. But for heaven's sake, Coach Hollis, I can surely tell you that when I was 14, I was in no way ready to do anything other than play junior high sports. And here's this kid, you know, well, I shouldn't call him a kid. He is a master. He is a guy who won his qualifying tournaments. He's a professional athlete and the top of his game because, you know, Coach, they don't invite just everybody to play in that great golf league.
So, Joe, when we were kids, our biggest outlet was sports and court work. Now, you know, when you see a 14-year-old that's excelling in three sports, these kids have so many more options. There are so many more things that they can do. You know, it was funny. We were talking about bowling, and you know, we were setting up the class for my eighth graders to bowl. And this little girl tells me, "Oh, I'm a great bowler. I'm a great bowler." I said, "Oh, what is your average?" She said, "Oh, my average is way over 200 every game." And so after we got everything set up, and she took the first row gutter ball, the second row. I thought you said you was a great bowler. She said, "Well, I am on Wii." How far have we come that you can consider yourself a great bowler on a game, but she could not even roll the ball straight? These kids have options. So when kids step away from Wii and Nintendo, and I know that's old, I'm showing my age now, and get outside and play, you know, Brandon and Darian, three-sport athletes. So in middle school, if you're a three-sport athlete, what that basically say about these two young men is they have been playing sports since the third week of the opening of school. When we started in August, football started. They had a week off for after football season was over. Then basketball started. They had a week off after basketball was over, and then track started. Okay? So basically, the entire school year have been going, and you know, you were talking with Mark earlier, and I didn't want to cut in. We were talking about, you know, what's enough, what's too much, and the kids will let you know, you know, and I'll make sure the next time Mark and I have a conversation, I'll mention that to him. But they'll let you know when they've had enough, and they will pick and choose. They will pick and choose. They when they get to high school, a lot of the sports are same season sports. So they will have to pick and choose. And those that are not same season, you're running into training for the next sport. So even if I'm playing football, here comes basketball season. As soon as football season's over, if I start basketball, well, basketball's going to go right on into indoor track for these kids. So they'll have to make a decision. And I tell them all the time, you always make a decision on the sport that you feel like you're the best in, and talk with your coaches and ask your coaches to help you make that decision. You know, I know for a fact that Darian is a better football player than basketball player. He's a better basketball player than he is a track person, but he's competitive. So, you know, if he were to ask, you know, my opinion is you stick with football because that's where you excel, you know.
And, Coach, let's go back to something that Mark made. was saying that he was talking to his, he said he was talking to Mrs. May, and they were asking about how much is too much. And, you know, one of the experiences that I had as a tournament coach when I was running Mallard Creek Tar Heel and Mallard Creek Showcase is, you know, I was the guy who was actually on the field with these players every single practice. And, you know, we practiced more as a tournament team than a lot of them did. So I wanted to have about as many practices as we played games. So we were spending a lot of time on the field. And I could tell when my players had had enough. You can tell in the dugout. And yet you'd be surprised when I would meet with the parents and I'd say, well, you know, guys, I think the players are getting a little used up. And Ricky, parents say, oh, no, he's ready to play. He's ready to play. And, you know, and then they'd drag their kid up to him and say, you want to play some more? Why, sure, Dad. But, you know, you're right. The players will let you know. And Coach, I don't mind telling you, I think I did overplay Patrick. I think Patrick could have played college baseball. But I think it got to a point with Patrick that it got to where baseball was something he had to do instead of something he wanted to do. And, you know, and that's probably a mistake that I made as a parent. I probably caught him too much. We had too many big games, and he was a guy that, and you know, I'm bragging on Patrick, but, you know, you saw him play. You know, I'm telling you the way it was. He was the guy that pitchers wanted to pitch to. And so, you know, we probably overused him behind the plate playing about 80 to 120 games a year. And, you know, it got to where it was a burden just for him to go to practice now. And then he came up to me right before his senior season, and he asked me if I could afford to pay his way through college. And I told him, of course, I'll pay your way through college. Because I never saw baseball or any sport as a way to get my children's college education paid for. I wanted them to play because they were good and because they enjoyed it. And I think, you know, Coach, you did have your college education paid for because of football, but was there ever a point that you just didn't want to do it?
Once I established that this is my sport, I walked away from basketball, you know, and part of the reason why, you know, I went from playing forward to guard, and I was like, you know, I used to be taller than that guy. So when I went from forward to guard, I had to almost go back and relearn to handle the ball and, you know, that type thing. And, you know, so it came a point when I had to make that decision. Is it going to be basketball, track, football? Which naturally, it couldn't have been baseball because, like you said earlier, if it came anywhere near the plate, I took a swing at it. So it ended up being football. So by the time I got to Winston-Salem State, I was actually down to one sport. I wrestled a couple of years, but it interfered with football. But I never really got tired of it. But, you know, getting back to baseball, I find that more kids burn out on baseball than any other sport. And, you know, if you really sit and think about it, it's an easy answer. The average football season is 14 games? That's a lot.
That's about right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You don't play two football games a week. The body mm-hmm. will not allow you to do that. Whereas you go back and you look at basketball, the average basketball season for a high schooler, if they're playing, if they do well, it's about 20 games, 22, 23, 24 games, and that's playoffs included. Well, you go back and you look at All-Star Baseball that Patrick was playing. You guys played every weekend.
In the sun, in the heat.
You played Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
It was hot.
It was nothing, you know, it was not unusual for you guys to play a Friday game, to play two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. That's it. It's five baseball games in 1 week, not to mention you've already practiced Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So when you really step back and look at baseball, I can understand why kids burn out quicker on it, because you're almost playing a major league schedule, you know. And I remember Patrick saying that, you know, that he didn't want to play anymore. And I've always felt like with baseball that if you have a showcase team why do you have to play every single weekend? Why you can't play every other weekend? The week that you have off, practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, give the kids the rest of the week off. I think it would make a huge difference. I thought it would make a difference with Patrick. That's a lot of baseball. That's a lot of games, not just baseball. That's a lot of games to ask a 16, 17, 18-year-old to play when there's other stuff going on around them. You know what I mean?
I do, Coach, and I'll tell you. It's very important that we allow our children to participate in the sport because they want to and because they enjoy it and because they're good. And I really believe that if we're looking for athletics to be anything else, then we're probably looking for the wrong things, because, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, I wanted to get Mark off as quick as we did, and I love talking to Mark May and look forward to having him as a guest on this show. You know, there aren't but so many high school baseball games that he's going to be able to watch Luke play in. And there will come a time that those come to an end. You know, I'll never forget what Patrick, you know, because after his senior year at North Mecklenburg, he played Legion ball. And they went second or third round of Legion playoffs. And, you know, strike three, ninth inning, season over, eliminated from the playoffs. And Ricky, just like that, Patrick's baseball playing career was over. Now, they're adult leagues, and maybe one of these days he'll play in them. Maybe he won't. But, you know, it does come to an end. And I think that for him, it came to a good end at the right time. And, you know, while this hour blows by, when you think about all the things that we were going to talk about, but it was great having Mark May on. It was great hearing from these two young men. And I do want to remind people that tomorrow night, whether you catch that show live or whether you catch it on demand, we hope that you'll listen and we hope that you'll pay close attention to the testimony and the witness of two good men, Judge Trosh, who as a juvenile court judge and as a general, you know, judge of the district court, has to make decisions that affect children's lives. And these are real decisions. And Brian Mack, what a man he is. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, to Brian being on the show with us and talking to us about the choices that he made. You know, Coach, it takes a real man to stand up in front of an audience or go on a worldwide web and say to people, here's what I did, and yet my faith and some good people behind me helped me overcome all that. And he's given back to young people. And, you know, Coach, there are a lot of people that would take a look at him and say, oh, you have this criminal record, so I don't want you around my children. Yet, you know, Coach Mack, coaches at the AAU team, has been a guest on this show before. He's smelled the dragon's breath, and he's persevered, and he's a better man for it. And so I'm really looking forward to what he's got to say to us tomorrow night, what Judge Trosh has to say to us. They're going to say a lot of the same things that Coach Clark and I have been saying. But, you know, with Rick and myself, it's what we don't want to happen to you. With these guys, Judge Trosh sees it every single day, and Coach Mack lived it. And, you know, Coach, I'm looking forward to that show, and I think it's going to be a good opportunity for us to use our show. And, you know, one of the reasons that Daniel Clark decided to form this radio, online radio station, is so that we could deliver a message to people. And that's more than just the yik and yak of talk radio. We want every show to have something. We want to talk about sports. We want to talk about what matters in sports, because it matters to me, and it sure as heck matters to Coach Clark. And Coach Clark, I know that we've got just a few minutes left. I mean, weigh in on that. Weigh in on how important that message tomorrow night is going to be for young people.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to as many of the athletes as I can get to tomorrow during school to make sure that they tune in and listen. You know, you can't pick up the paper on the end of the week without seeing where a young man or a young lady, mostly young men, that had a promising career, not just in athletics, but just a promising career period, where they made some choices. And I say this to all the kids: what are the chances that you meet somebody who's not headed down the same path that you're going. And it doesn't have to be the exact same path, but just want something better for themselves and want to make their parents proud. If you meet a kid that is not headed in the same direction that you're headed in, what are the chances that you can change the direction that you're headed in and opposed to that kid changing direction that you're headed in? And, you know, my dad used to say, if you don't have anything in common with your friends, they shouldn't be your friends. And I kind of live by that. And I've got old acquaintance now that I see periodically when I go back home that, you know, you don't really want to throw them under the bus, but I could almost back then predict the outcome that they're living now. And I say to all young people, you're not going to wake up one day and be successful. It don't work that way. You're not going to wake up one Saturday and say, hey, I'm a success. It takes hard work. It takes choosing the right people. A successful person often surrounds itself with other successful people. And if you don't remember anything else we've said tonight, you remember that. A successful person surrounds itself with successful people.
And speaking of successful teams, since it is the night of the Women's National Championship, and that game tips off for too long, and we do have a new national champion, the Louisville Cardinals, 2013 under Coach Rick Pitino, and congratulations to them. But, Coach, I was doing a little research today, and you know, there have only been a few teams that have won the national championship more than once. I mean, you hear people talking about he can't win the big games. Listen to this. UCLA is number one with 11 national championships. Now, admittedly, starting in 1964 until 1975, there were only 2 years that they weren't national champions. After that, Kentucky with eight, 1948, 1949, 1951, 1958, 1978, 1996, 1998, and 2012. Indiana has five, 1940, 1953, 1976, 1981, and 1987. North Carolina is tied for third with five national championships. You know, Frank McGuire's 1957 team, the 1982 and 93 teams under Coach Smith and Coach Williams, 2005, 2019. Duke, which had never won a national championship in anything, has four national championships under the great Coach Krzyzewski. But after that, it drops off. Connecticut, three. Kansas, three. Louisville, three. Cincinnati, two. Florida, two. Michigan State, two. North Carolina State, two. Oklahoma A&M, two. And San Francisco. And a lot of these teams that have the two, Coach, Cincinnati were back-to-back, 61-62. Florida, 2006-2007. You know, Oklahoma A&M, 45-46, and San Francisco, 55-56. Now, those were great teams, but you take a look at those top programs, UCLA, Kentucky, Indiana, North Carolina, and Duke, they speak excellent. Now, Ricky, I've got a question for you. They've been playing the national championship as a tournament event since 1939. How many undefeated teams would you think that there are?
Since 1939?
How many undefeated teams would you think there were?
I don't think there's been any. I wouldn't think. But I'm sure, let me see, probably, what, four?
Well, you're not too far off. The last one was, I don't want to check this to be absolutely certain. Actually, I would have thought UNLV might be in this list, but they're not, because in 1990, when UNLV just had a heck of a team, they were 35. Indiana in 1976 was 32-0, and that was the last one. Then UCLA in 1973, they were 30-0. In 1972, they were 30-0. In 1967, UCLA was 30-0. And in 1964, UCLA was 30-0. Before that, the other two undefeated teams were North Carolina, Frank McGuire's undefeated team, that went 32-0, and University of San Francisco with you know, the great Bill Russell. Was 1956. You know, so I was kind of surprised that there were only seven, you know, four of those were UCLA teams. teams that went undefeated through the course of a basketball season. You know, another interesting statistic that I'm going to give you before we go off. Actually, we're out of time. We're down to 10 seconds. This is WDCU Daniel Clark Talk Radio. Coach Wiki, Coach Joe, we're gone.